Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. There are two primary ways to harness the power of real estate investing, through either equity or debt. And there's no wrong answer. It just depends on who you are and what you're trying to accomplish. Today, we'll consider your options. And we've got a great guest on the Real Estate Guys radio program. All aboard! Registration is now open for the Real Estate Guys 17th Annual Investor Summit. Imagine spending 9 days with like-minded investors, world-class educators, and real-world professionals. Returning in 2019 are sales legend Tom Hopkins, international developer Beth Clifford, authors of Prosper, Chris Martinson and Adam Taggart, and the author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, G. Edward Griffin. Also back is the editor of the Gold Newsletter, Brian London, and Jim Rohn's 18-year business partner, Kyle Wilson. And joining us live and in person for his 7th Investor Summit in a row, Peter Schiff. Plus, lots more to be announced. It all begins March 15th, 2019 in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Visit realestateguysradio.com and click the tab that says Summit to learn more and reserve your spot. This transformational week is like no conference you've ever attended. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click Summit and make plans to spend a week with the Real Estate Guys and an all-star faculty on the 17th Annual Investors Summit at Sea. Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. With me, as usual, financial strategist, co-host, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
You know, there's lots of different ways to invest in real estate, but it really comes down to two categories of investing that we're going to discuss today. That is equity and debt. Either you're an equity investor, meaning you put money in and you're betting along with the project, and in many cases, you're rolling up your sleeve and you're doing the work, and maybe you're qualifying for the loan personally, and then you have all the upside. Or you're a debt investor where you're loaning money to a real estate investor or a real estate project, or just loaning money to someone wanting to buy a property. And it's not that one is better than the other. It's that different investment philosophies fit different folks.
Yeah. I mean, when you're looking at, say, for example, the way a financial planner would address putting together a paper asset portfolio, they would look at equities, stocks, which would be an investment you would make for the purpose of capturing growth and the upside of the capital gain from buy low, sell high. Or you'd be looking at bonds, which would be primarily for the purpose of both protecting principal, but also in generating income. Both usually have a place in a portfolio, depending on what you're trying to create. So you have part of your portfolio that's designed for long-term growth, long-term capital gain, and part of your portfolio that's designed for stabilization and steady income. Well, everything you can do in a paper asset portfolio, you can do with real estate. And so you either own the real estate, you can own cash-flowing real estate, or you can own cash-flowing debt backed up by real estate. And of course, as you just said, when you're on the equity side, you have the upside, meaning that if the property goes up in value, you capture that. The lender doesn't, the bank doesn't. Whereas if you're the lender, all that risk, if the property prices pull down, that happens to the borrower and not to you. In other words, if a borrower has bought a $100,000 property and you've provided an $80,000 mortgage, and the price in that particular market drops to $80,000, that $20,000 loss is 100% on the buyer. You still get your $80,000. Now, obviously, the collateral is not as strong, which is why you want to be careful if you go too high in terms of the LTV. But ultimately, it's debt is typically more stable. Debt is typically more predictable. What you trade for that security and consistency is a little bit of the upside. So it just really depends on what you're trying to accomplish in your portfolio.
Yeah, I think looking at it, like you mentioned, as a portfolio approach, hey, I've got a portion of my real estate portfolio that, you know, I'm owning houses, I'm multifamily maybe, I have retail investments, I have land investments, and that's a particular part of my portfolio where I'm maybe earning the down payment, putting that in, then I qualify for a loan, I get the tax benefits, I get depreciation, all those things. Now, when you look at the debt side, it's a little different. The debt side means that you're loaning money to a project. You're showing up as not an equity partner, but a debt partner. And that can be a way to earn above kind of the going interest rate, because lenders base their lending decision on risk versus reward. A lot of people who go to private money and want to borrow from individuals will pay a little bit of a premium for that. And generally, those kinds of lenders can move quickly. Sometimes it's because of your investment philosophy. Say you were going to buy a piece of raw land. One of the reasons to buy raw land is to hang on to a real asset, what we call land banking. If I was going to land bank a piece of raw land, I'd probably buy that with 100% equity. And then all of the upside as that land becomes more valuable, whether I do something to it like subdivide it or whether the market just gives me an increase in value, that's going to be to my benefit. But I'm doing that also because I don't want a lot of counterparty risk. I don't want to have to make a mortgage payment. I just want to hold on to it. As opposed to if I'm buying property for the production of income, say an apartment building, I'm after monthly cash flow. And apartments and other properties can provide monthly cash flow, but there's also the trade-off. If the rents get soft, then that's on me. If the rents get strong, then I have better cash flow. If the property increases in value, as you mentioned, Russ, I get the upside, but the lender doesn't. The lender's after a specific return. So most people who are investing in real estate for their portfolio have thought about it from the I want to own more properties point of view. But there really is an opportunity, especially maybe as you mature as an investor, to be the lender.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things you can do. If you're running an apartment building and you say whatever your cash on cash is, and that's a yield you're comfortable with, but you are taking the market risk if the rents drop or if there's some type of a major capital expenditure, that's all on you as the owner. Equity faces that. The debt doesn't. The lender doesn't face any of that. That's all on the owner. And so again, it's this concept of stability. The other thing is, as you mentioned, there are places in the real estate marketplace where people are willing to pay an above average rate for the money. For whatever reason, it could be because of the nature of the deal. It could be because they're already tapped out from the ability to access the best money. It could be a unique situation where they're trying to bridge a gap. It could be that they need to move quickly. Whatever the reason is, they're willing to pay above market rate to get something in return. Well, if you have the ability to borrow at or below a market rate, you can literally unleash equity from your balance sheet through what I call equity arbitrage. So, you know, if you're able to borrow money out of a portfolio, say at 5 or 6%, and turn around and loan it at 7 or 8%, you pick up a spread of a couple of points for really doing nothing more than signing some paperwork. And so using debt can be a way to free up capital, to get equity on your balance sheet that's sitting idle to cash flow. It can be a way to move risk from one property into another property or even completely outside of a jurisdiction. There's so many different things that you can do on the debt side of the equation. And the reason it's important to understand this is that anybody that's ever owned an investment property knows that the cash flow isn't always predictable. The cash flow on a debt is typically more predictable. And when you're doing this kind of arbitrage or spread and you're balancing payments against obligations or income against obligations, it's important that you have good stability in the income to offset the obligations that you have.
Now, let's also talk for a minute about the difference between active investing and passive investing. Most real estate entrepreneurs who go out and find houses and duplexes and fourplexes and multifamily buildings and retail buildings, they're pretty hands-on. They're looking in the marketplaces, they're managing their teams, they may be even doing rehab and that kind of work. But it's also a possibility to be completely a passive real estate investor. And probably the extreme of this is folks who invest in publicly traded real estate securities like REITs and investment trusts and those kinds of things. But you can also invest alongside a successful real estate entrepreneur in a syndication, and that can be a great way. So part of figuring out where do you fit in the equation is how much work do you want to do and what are the skills that you currently have?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, when you buy an apartment building, you're probably going to hire a professional property manager. You're not going to be there collecting the rents. You're not going to be there dealing with the tenants, screening the tenants, processing the payments, paying the payables, or any of those kind of things. That's all handled by the property manager. Well, you can do the same thing on the debt side. Sure, if you make a small loan to somebody and you don't go through a broker or a middleman, then you're responsible for collecting the payments, keeping track of everything, making sure all the documents are in order. If you want to be hands-on, you can do that. Typically, when people are going to place any substantial amount of money, it's just a lot easier to go through a specialty broker who helps put these types of things together because they're going to handle the debt service. They're going to handle the collections, and they just pay out to you the net on that for the work on your money. So think of it the same. You can either be hands-on, active, both on the debt or the equity side, or you can be hands-off, passive, on either the debt or the equity side. So most people, when they think about real estate, you know, dream about being on the equity side. But I think today we're just trying to highlight that there's a lot of opportunity on the debt side as well.
In fact, our guest is a guy who plays on both sides of the field, as you'll learn in just a moment. Very happy to have John Larson back on the program with us. And he'll talk about both equity and debt in his marketplace when we return. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you achieving everything you want in life? What if there was a time-tested way for you to get everything you've ever dreamed of? The most successful people in life set goals and keep themselves accountable for their achievement. But how? The good news is that it's not rocket science. You too can learn the skills and unleash the motivation that will create success in your life. And now is the time. Hi, this is Robert Helms, and I'd like to personally invite you to attend Create Your Future, the 2019 Goals Retreat, January 18th to 20th in beautiful Lake Las Vegas, Nevada. This unique weekend event has been called phenomenal, inspirational, and life-changing by the hundreds of people that have attended. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com under events, or call 888-489-7723, extension 18. Get your life back on track, physically, spiritually, and financially. Attend the 2019 Goals Retreat on the third weekend of the new year. Click events at realestateguysradio.com to register. This is no dress rehearsal. Live the life you were meant to. Visit realestateguysradio.com or call 888-489-7723, extension 18 today. Forbes rated Memphis the best cash flow market in the nation, and our good friend Terry Kerr at Mid-South Homebuyers has been the premier turnkey rental property provider in Memphis for over 13 years. With an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, Terry has renovated over 750 houses. Real Estate Guys listeners have snapped up hundreds. Discover what these satisfied investors already know. Mid-South's properties are completely renovated with a one-year warranty and a lifelong rental guarantee. They're affordable, well-managed, and easy to own. Perfect for beginning investors and veterans alike. Get in on the action. Contact Terry and his team via email at midsouth@realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Harrington, an original shark from the hit TV show Shark Tank, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show today. Hey, if you want to do bigger deals using other people's money, coming out to the Secrets of Successful Syndication, it happens in February in Dallas, Texas. And speaking of Dallas, Texas, we're in Dallas today, and let's say hello to a returning guest, John Larson. How are you, John?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back on, guys.
Well, it's always good to have you on the show. It's good to check in and see what you guys are doing. You've been a turnkey provider here in Dallas and a few other markets for many years. Lots of our listeners are familiar with what you're doing. And we got visiting recently and discovered that you voted well. The market's doing great. But that also creates some challenges and some opportunities, which we're going to talk today, because we've been talking about this idea of investing in debt versus equity. When I buy a piece of property, say one of the great turnkey houses that you guys have done over the years, I own the property and I maybe have a loan against it and I collect the rents, and people are familiar with that real estate model. Today, though, what's happened in Dallas that has been both good and bad?
Well, that's a great question. And so pretty much this has been happening all across the country. If you're looking in good markets, growing markets, or just any market across the country, if it's a good neighborhood, a good area, you've seen the prices kind of increase again to where they were before the last recession, right? I feel like the pricing in the real estate market at this point with single family homes is back to where it was in 2006. And so what that's done is it's really compressed the cap rate, the amount of cash flow that these rental properties can get our investors.
Yeah.
I would say 90% of my investors also want to take advantage of the Fannie Mae financing, which, why wouldn't you if you have those loans available? Well, now we're also starting to see the interest rates creeping up to where my investors are putting 20% down and the rate is starting to get closer to 6%. So with that, and the fact that the prices have increased, it's really compressing the cap rates and really limiting the cash flow that these rental properties can provide our investors.
Well, and we do see in lots of places of the country, in Dallas for sure, that as the prices are going up and there's good demand for property, and many of the properties that you guys have offered have also been great owner-occupied type properties. So we're not talking C-class in the hood. We're talking really nice properties that make great rentals for executive tenants, but also an exit strategy can be to sell to an owner-occupant. When you start to see the prices increase and the rate of the rent we pay for money, interest rates go up, and yet the rents are going up a little, but not as much. You're just getting squeezed, and so those returns aren't what they once were.
Exactly. And I've started to see the rents here in the Dallas market. They've started to plateau.
Yeah.
When we first got into this market back in 2012, I felt that the price to rent a house was actually undervalued. But now it's started to get to that point where you can't charge much more rent than you're charging in some of these neighborhoods. So that also is playing a factor. But when we select these high B to A class properties, like you said, we're buying in primarily owner-occupant neighborhoods. And I'm not going to start buying in low B, C to D class neighborhoods just to make the cash flow look good on paper.
Right.
But we all know with these lower end properties, it's very difficult to manage them, keep them cash flowing, keep them occupied. So that is why we've decided to open up this, what I would call a debt syndication, a private money lending opportunity for our investors. Give them the chance to play the bank on a very safe, in my opinion, development opportunity in a very safe market like Dallas-Fort Worth.
Well, folks that know American real estate investing know that you guys do the turnkey model that we've talked about. And if they get a chance to know you, they know you're involved in real estate in multiple states and areas. Mm-hmm. But what many maybe don't know is that you guys have done some land development, some property development, some commercial development. And really, that type of real estate has always been an attraction for local banks, for insurance companies, those kinds of things. So you don't necessarily need outside equity a lot of times. But in this case, this is a way to play the market and say, well, the market is strong and there's a good opportunity to get the cash flow you're after at a higher rate than you could even with a single family house today.
Exactly. And so what I was trying to do was solve a problem initially.
Yep.
I have my investors that are coming to me. They're primarily looking for cash flow. Now, I talk about on my show and here at American Real Estate, the up to six ways that real estate can pay you, especially when you take advantage of leverage. Now, with this debt syndication, you're not going to be able to get all those other ways that a rental property can pay you, like the tax benefits and appreciation, so on and so forth. But you will be able to get a fixed return each month that's paid to you each month. So I don't really know a much better way right now to provide my investors with a fixed passive income stream.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that because Russ and I were talking earlier about the fact that as an investor, step away from real estate, just as an investor. You can invest in equity, like in a startup company or to start a restaurant or something like that, or you can invest in debt. Well, I'm going to loan the restaurant money to buy their equipment, or I'm going to loan first deed on a piece of real estate. But there is this opportunity to make this decision about either I want to bet on the come as an equity investor, I'll get the appreciation of the property. By the way, if the property goes down in value, that's on me too, right? I'll have that compressed cap rate where maybe the value isn't what it once was or the rents don't sustain. Or I can just take a predetermined amount of return, which is what cash flow investors do. It's not a right or a wrong. It's just deciding in today's environment and where we're likely to see the economy and interest rates head, is it safer for people to consider this solid return? So given that, let's talk about how that works. As a lender, you're getting, just like a bank lender does, you're getting a specific rate of return.
Exactly. And so the way that this model works, it's a trust deed model. The lenders are getting a deed of trust. The only difference is there's a group of lenders on a particular project instead of one.
Because these are bigger projects.
Exactly. So my raises range from anywhere from $2 million to $3 million. That's pretty much what the project size is. So at that point, we probably have anywhere from 25 to 35 lenders on a particular deal. Now, this deed of trust model has been popular for a while. Many investors have been loaning money to fix and flip guys, right?
Yeah.
Guys that are just out there buying properties, flipping them, then that's how they pay the investor back. But they pay them a substantial amount of return in the form of an interest payment, right? Which
yep.
could range from anywhere from 8% as high as I've seen it as high as 15%.
Well, and stop there for a minute, because in some cases, a rehab or even a small builder can pay those kinds of interest rates because they have the profit margin, but also they turn the money pretty quickly.
Right.
So you're not in that type of a loan for years. You know, we definitely have listeners that made these kind of loans for 4 months or 6 months
right.
or 8 months. So as an investor, it gives you opportunity to get in and out, but it also lets you see where the end game is because it's obvious that the builder or the rehabber is going to use those funds to get the property to a place it can sell at a price that's going to pay you off.
Exactly. And so with this model, essentially all that we're doing is we're giving the investor still a deed of trust, but a list of other beneficiaries that are on that project, right? That are on that deed.
Yep.
From there, we're going to pay the investor a double-digit fixed return on a past deal I just raised for. Our investors are collecting 10.5% on their money
wow.
over 18 months. So pretty simple math here. If you give me a $100,000 loan, you're making $875 a month fixed to the penny. You know what you're making each month until the loan is paid off, right? And the way we're going to pay this loan off, there's a couple different ways we can do this. We can sell it on the retail market to a REIT, which that's pretty popular right now to buy
yep.
commercial space here in Dallas among these REITs and institutional buyers, or we can refinance these buildings and hold them as a cash flowing investment and take the proceeds from the refinance to pay back our lenders. And that's the plan. And so this is also a private lending program. So when I go to pay my investors back on these initial raises that we're doing here,
yep.
they'll have the option to reinvest that principal, that initial principal, in future deals and just keep the money working for them. So like I said, I had a problem. The real estate market right now, back at an all-time high, interest rates now going up, compressing the cash flow that I can get my investors off rentals. They're looking for cash flow. They're begging for it. Well, here's the best model for it, in my opinion. Come in as a debt investor and I pay you a fixed dividend each month to the penny.
Yeah. So a couple of things I like about this. I like the model where you're a private lender to an individual, whether it's a rehab or a builder or just a homeowner, where it's a fairly conservative loan to value and you're in first position. That makes sense. Here's the problem with that. There's a lot of logistics and who's going to service it, and it's
right.
small and you're dependent on one house in one neighborhood. With development deals, you have a bigger project, more ballast. It's a serious professional investment. It's not somebody leasing a room to their kid. I mean, it's building in-demand structure, and there's money in the deal. People go, mm-hmm. wow, 10.5, how do you pay 10.5? Well, you can pay 10.5 because of the exit strategies you
okay.
talked about. When you can acquire the land, do the entitlement, build a structure, and sell that to an end user or a fund, a hedge fund, a REIT, an insurance company, then you can do that all day long. You guys have been doing some of that, but not necessarily opening it up in this way to individual investors. So it's really marrying the two things, having a book of investors that are looking for return and having projects that are pretty solid.
Yeah. We've worked with other, you know, private equity groups before that have funded these deals for us, but they want a large share of equity on the back end. You know, I much would prefer, it's a win-win for both of us. I pay the investors the fixed debt. I get to keep the equity on the back end or keep my building, right? Which I'm probably going to end up doing that, is keeping the majority of these buildings as a cash flowing investment for myself.
Yep.
So that's the plan here.
Okay. Well, you know, if you look at anybody who lends money, you're concerned with two things. Number one, how is the borrower going to pay me back? And number two, what happens if they don't? So in this case, we've learned that the way that you're able to pay them is as a loan. They're getting paid interest monthly for the use of their money. You're using that money to develop the property. Once you develop the property and you add the value to it, it's easy to extract that back out, pay the investor back their principal. They've made a interest rate in the meantime. They get their money back, and then they have the choice whether or not they want to roll again. So it works on both sides. An equity investor is thinking today, well, if I was going to invest in something like this, and there are these types of syndications to invest in commercial deals, well, then you're sitting behind whatever lender may be there. So the great thing about being the lender is you're pretty much in first position. And I think your point's an important one, which instead of having one investor on one note, it's just a number of investors that have each put money into the same note.
Exactly. And then depending on how much you put in, that will dictate what your beneficial interest is in the project. So for example, on this last deal, I had a guy that came in for $450,000. He has the largest beneficial interest there. But you touch on a point about what if the project goes south, right? What is the investor's recourse? Well, they have first lien positions, so they can follow through on a foreclosure, right? Now, what I do to help protect the investors as well is I put a mortgage broker here in Texas in the middle to formalize the agreement between us as the borrower and the investor as the lender. That way, if there was a chance that the property had to go through foreclosure,
yeah.
that mortgage broker in the middle is there to facilitate that for the investor. So some of my investors have come to me and said, well, John, what happens if you guys default and don't pay me back? Am I going to have to track down all these people and figure out how we're going to foreclose on you? No. That's why I put that commercial mortgage broker in the middle to formalize this agreement. And if there is any arbitration or anything like that, he will take care of that for you.
All right, let's talk about the range of the timeline, because you said 18 months, but I'm imagining it kind of depends project to project based on if the land's already something you own or if you're acquiring it, or what are the variables there and what's kind of maybe the range of time that an investor would expect to be in this kind of a deal?
Yeah, I would say 18 months is probably going to be the on the short end, up to 36 months. I probably won't tie my investors' money up. I won't look for projects that will take longer than 36 months. But on this particular deal that we just raised for, I'm actually probably going to end up having to pay my investors back. Look, I say I have to pay them back before 18 months.
Okay.
18 months was a solid buffer for me to really give me an opportunity to decide what our exit strategy is going to be. And if it's a refinance, then obviously you need to go through a little bit of a process with that. Some lenders are going to require you have the building occupied before the refinance and lease is in place. So I want to buy myself time in order to do that. But really, the land is already developed. I already own the land. The infrastructure is in place. We're ready to start building the buildings. And talking with my development partner, who's also a South Lake resident and actually offices out of the office complex that's right next to this one, he believes that we're going to have the buildings done by the end of June. We're projecting. So really, we were thinking that the raise was going to be, or the loan would be paid back in January of 2020. June of 2019, the buildings will be completed. That'll give me a few months to sell it, refinance it, whatever it is. And then really, I'm probably going to be paying my investors back in 12 months. So it just kind of, it depends. And I could foresee some investors probably being like, well, you're paying me back too early, you know, but that's why we'll have other deals behind these to where they can then reinvest the money and just keep it working for them.
Well, this is part of getting your mind around being a debt investor. The advantage to being a debt investor is while your money is being rented, being used, you're receiving a return. So it doesn't matter whether it goes 11 months or 19 months, you're getting that rate of return for every one of those months, as opposed to an equity investor who, say, was going to get a particular payback. Well, the longer it goes, the lesser the return
right,
for the same payback, because it's over a longer period of time. If I'm able to do it quickly, well, it's a higher return. Here, the return is the same. It's consistent. And I think as people are thinking about their portfolios, there's certainly part of our portfolios where we're betting as equity, we're betting on the come, we're looking for an increase in market value down the road. But to have part of your portfolio be a consistent, predictable return can certainly be comforting.
Absolutely. And that's why this has been so successful for us. You know, we get hundreds of leads every month for people that are just primarily looking for cash flow through real estate opportunities. So when we unveiled this project and gave an investor the opportunity to see double-digit fixed returns on, you know, their money's backed by an asset, first lien position, and it's in Dallas-Fort Worth and South Lake specifically, which is one of the top 10 wealthiest cities in all of America, it was pretty much a no-brainer.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, if you've not been in this side of the business to think about, well, that's what am I investing in? First of all, the collateral is the land. And I love the model that you guys take down the land first, because there are these types of syndications where I go out and say, well, I'm going to buy a property. You guys loan me the money, I'll go buy the property. Okay, well, that could happen and that could work. But when you already own the property and you've already got the basic infrastructure done, now what the loan is for is to build the building. And the buildings you guys are building are going to depend on the marketplace too. I know one of the projects you did in the neighborhood there was commercial property. Talk about the types of buildings and tenants so people get their mind around the sort of collateral you're talking about.
Yeah, so this particular project that we're still working on now, still raising for now, we're actually just finalizing our second raise from this development. So we already raised, I believe it was $2.3 million for a lot and a building in the first development. And the building is basically it's a mixed-use commercial space. So office space and medical space, we have it zoned for that. Now we're just finalizing our second raise from this one, which was another building right next door. And that particular building, I'm actually for sure going to refinance that one, because I believe I'm going to put some of my sales staff and my property management team over to occupy half of that building. Because South Lake is smack dab in the middle between Dallas-Fort Worth. I also do property management, so logistically it makes sense. And then now we are about to open another raise, which will start in November. And that will be on, it's the largest lot of the development. That one will be strictly medical. That'll be an 8,500 square foot medical space right there in South Lake, right off of 114, major expressway there. And it's right next to a 17 building office development that was also mixed use. That's been sold out, completely leased out, and a huge success. So really all we're doing is just replicating something that already worked great.
We're talking to John Larson today about this idea of becoming a debt investor. When we come back, we'll talk about minimums and what it takes to get involved with this type of an investment. We'll also play real estate trivia next. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Hey, it's Robert Helms. Thanks so much for listening to the show today. I want to personally invite you to come see an amazing real estate market that combines excellent cash flow, offshore diversification, and what we affectionately call lifestyle investing. Come join me from February 8th to 11th in the beautiful country of Belize. The Real Estate Guys have been bringing investors to Belize for more than a dozen years now, and our discovery trip is designed to show you the market like nobody else can. Sure, Belize is breathtakingly beautiful, the people are wonderful, and wait till you taste the food. But the real opportunity is the real estate investment potential. 2017 was the biggest year in tourism Belize has ever witnessed, and it looks like 2018 will end up even stronger. How does that translate to real estate investment? That's what you have to come see. There's all types of opportunity in Belize when it comes to real estate investing, including both long and short-term rentals, commercial and retail triple net properties, business opportunities, land acquisition, development, agriculture, and more. And as the only country in Latin America with English as its official language, it's easy to understand the law. Property rights are strong, and contracts are written in English. And in Ambergris Key, a unique situation exists where demand for rentals continues to outstrip supply, creating a compelling environment for investors. So come see for yourself. Join me February 8th through 11th at Ambergris Key, Belize as we study the market, learn about the sustainable drivers, and tour lots of beautiful real estate. And like all of our field trips, there are no properties for sale during the weekend. Rather, you'll meet local providers that will help educate you about the market so that you can follow up with them after the trip if you decide the market's interesting to you. You'll receive their contact details, but they won't receive yours unless you give it to them. You've heard about Belize and the Real Estate Guys for all these years. Now come see what all the excitement is about. Plus, we'll have lots of time over meals and activities to talk all things real estate. To get the details, go to the website at realestateguysradio.com and click on events where you'll find the Belize Discovery Trips. Once you register, you'll get information about our group hotel rate as well as travel details. So join me in Belize, February 8th through 11th. It's a beautiful country with lots of amazing possibilities, and the only thing missing is you. Go to realestateguysradio.com under events, and I look forward to seeing you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, this is Steve Forbes. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Have fun. You'll learn something.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program, heard every weekend on this great radio station all the time at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for tuning into the show. Tell a friend about The Real Estate Guys. We're talking today about investing with debt or equity or even both. Before we get back to our conversation with John Larson, it's time to play real estate trivia. That's your chance to win a prize by knowing today's real estate trivia question. In just a minute, I'm going to give you a question that has something to do with real estate. If you think you know the answer, send your best guess to trivia at realestateguysradio.com. Trivia at realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, the answer to the question, and your mailing address, because if you're the winner, we're going to send you an amazing book called The One Thing That Changed Everything, captivating stories from a whole bunch of awesome folks. That can be yours if you know today's real estate trivia question. Last week, we were talking about this new opportunity called Opportunity Zones, and we asked this: in which country is the world's highest uninterrupted waterfall? Well, the answer is the country of Venezuela. Angel Falls is the highest uninterrupted waterfall on the planet, with a height of 979 meters and a plunge of 807 meters. That's a tall waterfall. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. Name the state insect of Nebraska. You know, every state in the U.S. has a state insect, so what's the state insect of Nebraska? And be quick about it, the first person with the right answer is going to win the one thing that changed everything. All you have to do is send an email with the answer, your name, and your mailing address to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. If you're the first one with the right answer, you'll get the one thing that changed everything. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're talking with our friend John Larson here in beautiful Dallas, Texas. And John, we've known each other a long time. A lot of our listeners have availed themselves of the turnkey properties that you guys have done, both here in the Dallas Metro and a couple other marketplaces. But as we've talked about, as those rents are increasing a little, but home prices and interest rates are increasing a lot, it's harder and harder, not only for you guys to find property, but for the investor to make sense out of the return. So this idea of private lending makes a ton of sense. Now, let's talk about the idea of a debt investor is different from an equity investor in a couple of substantial ways. This is essentially a debt syndication. Syndication meaning you're raising the money from lots of different people and it's for debt, so it's at this predictable return. But because of that, do they need to be an accredited investor?
No, they do not. That's actually a good question. So with this particular model, no, you do not need to be accredited. Like I said, and most of my investors that come to me, they're not accredited. We are soliciting to people that are coming to us for opportunities, so no need to be accredited for these offerings.
It's one of the advantages to being a lender. When you're investing equity, it's typically in a syndication, a security, and so it follows U.S. security laws, and there's security laws in all other countries. We're in a lot of countries broadcasting, but it works usually the same way. Similar idea, which is that if you're pulling together money from different people and they don't have a direct control in it, that's a security. Talk to your securities attorney. But a loan is not like that because it is at a predictable rate of return and a constant payment. So you don't need to be accredited. And accredited just means you meet some financial metrics that not everybody does. So that's a good thing. What are the minimum amounts to get involved with something like this?
Yeah, that's a good question. Typically, I like to keep the minimum at 50K.
Yeah.
Most of our investors come in at around 100. I like those amounts a little bit more. Obviously, I don't want to have, you know, 50 people on one deed, a trust on a $2.5 million raise. That's not my goal. I really like to cap it at 30. So although we would allow you to come in at 50, I'm going to cap it at a certain point. You know, I don't want everybody in at 50. So most of the investors, like I said, they're coming in around 100, but the minimum I would say is 50, but then the positions for 50K are going to be limited.
Okay. And then this idea that you guys are looking to have inventory on the backside, meaning if they come out of the investment and they choose to move forward, at that point, it's a new loan on a new property. They kind of start over, but the idea is that should they want to continue the return, you're going to try to find a home for that.
Exactly. Yep. We're going to keep bringing in deals that make sense. Obviously, they're safe, number one, for the investor, because the last thing I would want to do is default on any of these opportunities. But I believe in a market like DFW that's just predicted to continue to grow like crazy. I can't see demand for new development. Office space, medical space. I can't see that going anywhere anytime soon.
You know, it's interesting because when you think about where the opportunity might be in the buy and hold rental house, then you start looking at the secondary and tertiary markets where maybe the rents are a little higher and mainstream investors haven't found the market yet. And so you find the smaller market where there's a few stories and a few employers and that can make sense. But when you're looking at commercial property, it's the opposite. The top 10 MSAs, metropolitan statistical areas, have always been the top
right.
10, right, with very little change over the years. So there is a comfort in knowing that you're in a big market with a lot of ballast. So I think that makes sense as well. But you don't have to live in Texas. You don't even have to live in the U.S. for this to work.
No, you don't. We've had a couple investors. Actually, I had a gentleman come over from Switzerland that lent money on this opportunity. I was just in London recently and talking with investors over in Great Britain about these opportunities, and they are very, very interested in them. And then I actually met an individual who has ties to Dubai, and the property market in Dubai is actually not doing very well right now. And so there's a lot of investors who are used to investing in Dubai or from Dubai who are looking for other opportunities. And so a lot of them are starting to look to America and obviously these top 10 metros and Dallas being one of them.
Yeah. Now, there's no limit to how much people can put in. I mean, if you had someone come and say, I need to put $2.5 million to work, you could probably find a specific deal for that. But really, the idea of breaking it the pie into smaller pieces, I mean, that's how a lot of the commercial deals get done, is a group comes in with $2 or $3 million as the debt and they're good. what you guys are doing, since kind of your heart and your legacy has been helping individual investors, is now creating an opportunity for those folks to be able to play.
Exactly. And another thing I wanted to touch on as well, this model works so great for the IRA 401k crowd.
Yeah.
When they self-direct the retirement account and get that money in basically a tax-free vehicle or tax-deferred vehicle, these interest payments are then going back to them tax-free or tax-deferred, right? So if it's a Roth IRA that they have set up and they self-direct that, these payments are going back to them tax-free. So with this private lending model, I mean, I truly believe, like I said, it's one of the best ways, if not the best way, to really supplement income, replace income, grow your retirement account in a fixed, truly passive manner. Now, one thing with rentals too, I'm a big rental property advocate. I own rentals, but I will tell you that every month there's something new,
yeah.
You know? And so there's a lot of moving parts with owning homes and owning rentals, and some people just can't handle it, you know? So if you're that person and you just want to collect a check every month and know exactly what you're going to make to the penny with very, very low communication with whoever who you're working with, you know, no one's going to call you and say, hey, the tenant just left in the middle of the night, or hey, a new maintenance request just popped up, then this model is definitely for you.
Yeah, and I think it's not a right or a wrong, right? There are hands-on folks, and we both are on both sides of this fence, right? We have properties that are actively managed that are got great tenants in them, and when those tenants move out, we got to find new tenants, and we have property managers to do that. You guys are in that business. But this for the true passive investor, a lot of folks are just too busy to do the work necessary to find the deals, to vet the providers, to look at the right markets, and something like this is a way to get your money to work. I also think, and this may be interesting timing, you know, obviously the stock market's been interesting to watch in the last weeks and months. And for folks that have a portfolio that's maybe kind of up there, this would be a way to take a little profit taking, as they say, take some money out of a volatile place and put it into a consistent return.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen an uptick with that. I work with groups like Equity Trust. I actually just had a member of Equity Trust come on my show a couple weeks ago, and he just talked about how that's all he does is lends debt out of his IRAs and 401ks. So, you know, and I asked him on the show, have you seen an uptick in interest for people looking to self-direct and get their money out of the market? And he said, oh yeah, absolutely. Volatile times like this, this is typically when you're going to see more and more people inquire about moving some money around, taking control of their retirement funds, getting it out of the market and the traditional investments that they've always come to know, and putting it into real estate and putting into opportunities where you can lend debt.
Yeah, and I think for folks who have money in their retirement accounts, we meet a lot of people that, you know, they left a job and they've got a 401k sitting there and they're just letting it sit, and that might be fine, but it's worth exploring. Could you turn that into a self-directed IRA and use that money somewhere? And for whatever reason, people think about their IRA differently. So if I'm sitting on $150,000 of cash going, well, you know, it's not making much in the bank. I could put it against real estate. It's not going to be out for that long, 18 months, 24 months maybe. Okay, I can see that. But my retirement funding, well, that's so far away. Well, it's an asset you can take control of. So good stuff. Now, I know there's a lot to get your mind around. You guys have put together a pretty cool report that actually has some case studies and some examples of what you guys have done. So tell us what's in the report.
Well, it's going to give you another basic breakdown on what we discussed here on the show. Just talking about the opportunity from a syndication standpoint. And then, you know, talking about the strengths of the markets that we're in, Dallas-Fort Worth being the number one market right now that we're doing these developments in, just because, like I said, I feel safe about this market.
Yeah.
Coming into a possible another recession here coming up, you know, we can kind of feel it with the way that the values of real estate has gone up and now the interest rates are creeping up. I just still think that there's going to continue to be demand in these markets. So we've got some data in there that are showing, you know, all the Fortune 500 and 1,000 companies that are headquartered in DFW, and population statistics about how Dallas-Fort Worth is projected to grow to 9 million people by 2025. That makes me feel good about developing new property. So there's some tidbits on that, and then just a case study on deals that we funded in the past that can give the investor an idea of how the process works and things like that.
All right, good stuff. So if you're working out or you're driving and you're not taking notes, all you have to do is send an email to privatelending@realestateguysradio.com. Private lending, that's what you're doing. It's a private lending syndication. So privatelending@realestateguysradio.com, and we'll rush out John's report. You can also tune into your podcast, The Real Estate Cowboy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. It's comes out every Sunday. Honestly, you guys gave me a lot of motivation to start that podcast, but things have been going really well. Started in April, and it's been great. So tune in if you get an opportunity.
It's fun to watch in all your podcast favorite locations. Well, John, it's always good to catch up. Love the direction you guys are are taking. This makes sense, right? Rather than just complain that we can't get enough property or the margins aren't enough for investors, let's figure out a way to make it work. So hats off to you.
Thanks a lot.
There's John Larson from American Real Estate Investments. More when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com. If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Hi, this is Patrick Donahoe, CEO of Paradigm Life. Wall Street and banks spend billions of dollars per year in advertising with the goal to convince you that they are the solution. But take a look around. None of their advice has worked. If you're listening to this, odds are pretty good that you're already a real estate investor, or at least becoming one. So why do you do it? Is it to hedge inflation, the tax benefits, or maybe it's to get your money away from Wall Street? It's because of these benefits and so many more that I created the Real Estate Investor's Guide to the Perpetual Wealth Strategy. When you combine successful real estate investing with the Perpetual Wealth Strategy, you have the recipe for what has helped the wealthy to establish their financial well-being for decades. You can download the Real Estate Investor's Guide to the Perpetual Wealth Strategy today by clicking the Resources tab on the Real Estate Guys Radio homepage. Don't wait, go download it now.
Hi, this is Garrett Sutton, Rich Dad's advisor. Remember, equity happens, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. If you're not quite sure what you want to be when you grow up, then come on out to Create Your Future. It's our 2019 Goals Retreat. It happens the third week of the new year, and this is a really great way to get clarity on your personal goals, your financial goals, your spiritual and health goals, and really just chart an awesome course for the new year.
Yeah, you know, we say all the time, when you have clarity of vision, strategy and tactics become evident, and a lot of times people go out there and they try to figure out strategy and tactics. They read a book or they go to a seminar and somebody says, well, this is how you do this or this is how you do that. And go, yeah, I'm going to do that because then I can make money. Well, then you make the money and you have to say, well, what do I want to do with the money? Well, I want to live a certain way. Okay, well, you know, maybe you should start by figuring out how you want to live and what's important to you, and then adjust your investing and everything that you do to make money to fit better with that and to fuel and fund it faster. And so really, that's what Create Your Future is all about. Sometimes people say, well, gee, you guys are the real estate guys. Why are you teaching goals? Because really, real estate is just a vehicle. Money is just a vehicle to get you to a destination. And if you don't know where you're going, then you easily get onto the wrong road. And the saddest thing we see in life, and I've done it myself, is where you work really, really hard and you pay a big, big price and you climb that ladder of success and you stand at the top of the rooftop beating your chest in victory. And then you look around and realize, dang, I'm on the wrong roof. I didn't even climb the roof that I wanted to climb. And, you know, the thing about life is it doesn't give replays. You don't get a second shot. So I think that anybody that isn't crystal clear on who they are, what they want, what they're willing to do to get it, what they're not willing to do to get it, and what real success looks like for them on a personal level, Create Your Future is the place to be.
So check out all the details on our website at realestateguysradio.com. Talking today about investing in real estate, and great to hear from John Larson.
Yeah, it's, you know, John is one of these group, I call them the young bucks, right? The young Turks, these young guys that we have. And, you know, young is a relative term. I mean, Johnson is, I believe, in his 30s. So he's been around the block. He's a very experienced investor. But these guys, just they work hard, they hustle, they're smart, they're creative, and they get involved in all kinds of fun things, you know. And so it's been a lot of fun for us to get to know John. John over the years and see the different things that he's involved in. And I love the way a guy like John looks at the marketplace and says, okay, well, you know, I started off in this market and the market had a certain set of circumstances. And so I'm going to attack the market this way and I'm going to bring value and get value with this strategy. And then all of a sudden the circumstances in the market change and what he was doing before doesn't work so well. And it's like, okay, I'm not going to stop doing that, but I've got to find a way to continue to keep my momentum going. I'm going to work with what the market's giving me. And I think he's doing that from a real estate entrepreneur perspective. But, you know, every investor listening to this can do the same thing. You've got to look at what the market is giving you. This is the first time in at least the last decade that we've had anything that even remotely smacks of rising interest rates. And really, it's the first time in nearly four decades where we've had fairly consistent rising interest rates. And if David Stockman, who we talked to a few weeks back, is right in his analysis, we could see rising interest rates for quite some time. That's a game changer. That definitely puts downward pressure on things like rents and things like, you know, long-term equity growth. And, you know, every deal can pencil. And if you have a value-add strategy, that can work. But it also makes debt look a little bit more attractive, especially if you're able to secure your cost of funds early in the cycle and then put it to work. So I think that what these guys are doing is giving people an opportunity to tap into their forced equity strategy and yet end up with some good solid cash flows with a lot less risk.
Well, it makes a sense for a lot of different reasons. And I think the market is strong, right? The Dallas-Fort Worth market, very, very strong market. And yet it's been challenging. We've seen this happen. I mean, the best time to buy a property here was 10 years ago, and only better than that was 20 years ago. And now it's difficult. It's challenging to find properties that work, multifamily, single family, any of that. But it's still a vibrant market. There's cranes everywhere. There's great infrastructure, and there's more people coming. Jobs are increasing. And so here's a real estate need they've identified and figured out a way to make it a cash flow investment from the debt side. So we've known these guys a long time, and in our world, they've been turnkey providers of real estate. They still do that. It's just harder for them to get inventory, but through this vehicle, much easier to create these double-digit cash flow returns.
Yeah, well, I mean, the development opportunity really is an outgrowth of strong real estate market. And, you know, we've been hearing people not complain, but definitely point out that inventory creation is still relatively low compared to increasing demand. And so getting involved in the development side is an opportunity to cash in on that. And to your point, Robert, I mean, if you look around at all the different economies in the United States of America, Dallas-Fort Worth Metro's got to be in the top two or three. It is just super, super strong, business friendly, all kinds of infrastructure. It's a distribution hub. It's a energy-based economy. You've got financial services, great medical infrastructure, transportation, education, all the things we look for in a great market. I mean, we've been touting Dallas for a dozen years now, and it turned out to be a great, great call for all those reasons. So clearly, there's still a lot of meat on the bone in the Dallas marketplace, but it's not the same place it was 5 or 6 years ago. So it's cool to see these guys looking where the opportunity is, skating to where the puck is going, and then giving people an opportunity to tap into that.
Well, that's really the big point. It isn't necessarily even about Dallas or about these guys or about the opportunity. It's about thinking differently when the market changes, because what we know is happening for sure in the future is change. A market doesn't stay the same for a long time. And if you don't change your strategy and your approach, then you're left behind. And so rather than say, well, I just can't find any deals in Dallas, you can say, well, I just have to look in a different place. So big thanks to John Larson for sharing his time and expertise today. He's put together this great report. And to get your copy, all you have to do is send an email to privatelending@realestateguysradio.com and you'll get the report. Hey, there's still cabins left for the 2019 Investors Summit at Sea. It's going to be our best summit yet, and we want you on the boat.
When I look at the summit, I can't believe it's been 17 years. It just is amazing to me. But what's even more amazing to me is how many people come back year in and year out, not just attendees, but faculty. We got Robert Kiyosaki coming back this year, Peter Schiff coming back, been multiple times, Tommy Hopkins, great sales trainer. I mean, career changer for me. We've got Chris and Adam Taggart from Peak Prosperity, just lots and lots of great people, plus all kinds of real estate subject matter experts, Gene Guarino, Brad Sumrock, people that really are doing it at the street level. And they listen to these high level economic concepts and try to figure out where the opportunities are and how the market is changing. And then you drill down is how do you apply that on Main Street? I think that people have never been. The thing that you'll discover is you can get more done in terms of enhancing your big picture economic economic and investing education and speed dating, and learning a lot about a lot of different ways of approaching investing, plus building your network, a huge group of great people really from all over the world. So you get not just perspectives from people that are from different parts of the country, but you get people who are from different parts of the world. And so they've seen things and can give you a perspective that you just can't get. And maybe you could figure out how to do this all on yourself, but I promise you, you'd spend tens of thousands of dollars in airfare and hotel and travel and just trying to find the right people. But we make it all convenient. It's all in one place, fun on a cruise ship. It's a great, great time. It's not a vacation, so rest well before you come and plan a few days to recover. But you'll get more done in 10 days on the Investor Summit at Sea than most people get done in 10 years.
It's our 17th year, and they just keep getting better. So come join us. All the information is on our website at realestateguysradio.com under Summit. Next week on the show, we've got the godfather of real estate talking about real estate agents helping investors, how you best work with an agent, how you become that agent, and if you are a real estate agent or broker, how you can make a ton more money servicing investors. It's going to be a great show. And Bob's got a brand new book debuting, so we'll talk about that. Until then, go out and make some equity happen.
Hi, this is Robert Kiyosaki, and I'm very excited about the next Real Estate Guys Summit at Sea Cruise. I mean, I've worked with Robert and his dad and Russell for I don't know how many years, 20-something years. Been friends all this time. We've always worked together. But come up with something I've never ever talked about, and it's a concept called an infinite return. And once you understand an infinite return, it means you'll never need money. I'm going to have Tom Wheelwright, my accountant, because you have to have an accountant to do it. But it's probably one of the more sophisticated investment philosophies or strategies. It's something I've used since I've been 27 years old. And once you understand an infinite return, you'll never need money again. You don't have to pay taxes again, and you can never ever say again, I can't afford it. So I look forward to seeing you on the Real Estate Guys Infinite Return Cruise this March. Thank you.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723 extension 4. That's 888-489-7723 extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.